Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Once again, thank you for listening, and this is Andrew Fetter at, well, welcome to When Pigs Fly, because frankly, BS doesn't fly around here, or at least we try not to. I want to thank also for BBS Radio for producing my show, and of course, all you listeners and future listeners, past listeners, blah, 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 all of y'all. Thank you. God, I can't believe it's been a few years of looking back. I've been almost doing this stuff for about 6 years, and it seems every time it's a new subject, and sometimes I feel like sometimes repeating myself, but then I guess sometimes you have to say things in new ways because everybody has different ways of looking at things. One thing I noticed in doing a show, you know, you're never the same when you first do it to, you know, each day changes. And if it seems like the same thing all over, then something's wrong. And that's part of life. So I want to thank you. So anyway, just thought that would throw that in there. I usually do a lot of things off the cuff. One thing I wanted to do, talk about, I was supposed to have a guest, and I normally don't get into the issue of integrity with anybody, in specifics regard to integrity, but I just feel, first of all, I want to apologize for those that I had posted that we were going to have a Dr. Surprise as a guest. Just like his name is no surprise, I usually don't get into people, but when they propose a book and they, you know, propose things of a spiritual context, sort of ears me out when things are not done. And let me just plainly say, when it comes to integrity, I held a high threshold to that, but there's also integrity when you do in business and doing outstretch in business, and specifically when you do things on a timely manner. And I don't care how many books you write, how many chants you make, prayers you make, incense you light, yoga instances you, stances you may make, sing kumbaya till you're blue in the face. Frankly, if you don't have any integrity, then they don't mean crap. And that includes any, both hosts and people who pros radio shows or books or anything. You know, you as a listener need to take that into account. The intention behind why they're giving you their information, if they're just doing this just to make almighty buck, or they're really truly trying to get information out there, that's another thing you should look into. So if you intend, by the way, to be on a show in this particular case, I will say his name, Mr. calls himself doctor, I don't know what kind of doctor he is, to be on a show, and you're requested to have the appropriate information in a promptly manner. I mean, come on, 10 days, 7 days, not even a day before. Then how would you expect any, you're not respecting my thing. I mean, you're not, so how can anybody respect what you have to say? That's where the lack of integrity comes from. That's one of them. I mean, your deeds are who you are. And that includes, you know, the ones that show no integrity behind your actions or intentions behind them. So anyway, some or rather many who claim to be all kumbaya and spirit have really no clue because they may very unfortunately have very little integrity. Like I said, this is integrity, and I've done many times on my show speaking of it, is the background of literally the backbone of spirituality. I mean, literally, if you don't have it, all the other stuff doesn't mean diddly. Straight up, there's nothing to problem about. And unfortunately, people don't have to understand too. You don't have to be a psychic or a healer or a shaman or a manifestor or an ETC or anything like that to be on your spiritual path. It has nothing to do with being on a spiritual path. All one needs to be is heading toward the way of righteousness, and that being righteous is, of course, integrity, which I just aforementioned. Having unconditional love, or try to have unconditional love for all yourself, being connected to that of the universe, you, God, and we are at one. Doing deeds of merit, meaning raise your frequency, like cleaning up your garden from karma attachments, helping others, helping yourself included. And being, of course, thankful for all the experience you have encountered, will encounter, are encountering, and be thankful for what and how and where you are at the present and will be in the future and what were you in the past. And lastly, being in the moment. Being in the moment is the simple joy and the deed. Joy is the deed. Being thankfulness, unconditional love, the joy is love, the universe with, all in you. That's real simple. I didn't have to write a 400-page book for that. Anyway, now what I'm about to say, beat off to you, is basically what I saw and envisioned and sort of channeled out. All of you know that I do go out of body. I've mentioned it numerous times. And last, on the 26th of April, I went out, and this is sort of what I sort of saw, and all things, when somebody sees something in visions, it's what at the moment that could occur, may occur, and you can take it for what I just say, what it is. Unfortunately, this is what I saw. And what I'm about to read off to you is what I envisioned. So, now, it is what I envision, a feeling that I see, a dream within a dream. Many, many only see with their eyes, yet it is the heart that sees. Many hear only what with their ears, but it is within our mind, we all hear. Many see only by their eyes, and yet it is our hearts that see all. Many, many will not hear with their ears simply because they're too busy thinking for what they will speak. Or simply not listen at all. Or simply close their mind from what their assumption and their fear. There are many, though, will feel, and many will actually see. More and more will see, and more will feel. This is the real awakening. Awakening is the process. Waking is the direction. And yet, there will still be those who truly fear to speak and see and hear. Yet, I reiterate, many will still see more and speak more as they will. But in the coming of days, most will continue a walking in the days as sheep to the slaughter, lead but divide and hate. But the blue-green marble, third rock from the sun, will always prevail. A higher tone of the third rock from the sun, as cooler winds will stretch across the Pacific upon the summer shores, and upon the summer shores, these shores, raining for days upon which never was before. As deserts flood, great winds will twist and turn upon the plains like the Tonka before. The great river of old mists will become ever, ever wider, swallowing up more and more upon the shore. And like the lands of citrus will reap that wrath like a bad dream as before. Winds and wetness, rains, scurry, as before. hold to the crimson of Alabama, to the lands of the Great Horn and Panhandle too. We'll see Mother's Earth swirl like an old nightmare, only with more trailers like before. And upon the ground, upon the great Isle of Manhattan, will surely rock to a new tune as Mother Earth further its opening of her womb. Fear still stretches across the pond, as the hate will be upon you from Ireland to Britain to France and on. Oh, the EU melts in the hot pan as the EU withers so more. The heat from your hatred will grow and grow like never before. Chaos will soon be common as a taste of the brew. The fatherland will be as old, like nothing new, nothing old. As the lands of the Pharaoh star for another 7 years, oh, how she will tremble. The scurry of the plagues will scatter across the winds as they haven't passed. Joseph will be upon her for the hatred she endures. The lands of Assad will be his own rope, his neck soon tied, then the chair kicked aside, as the demise of Assad will rise like the thermometer upon the Sahara's land. Blood will spill in the land, reaching from the shores of Tyre. And once again, the rise of green will soon prevail in the great lands of Cyrus, and women will rise upon there too. Like the oceans of tides, the crescent moon will soon begin its descent, just like the cross in the land of Julius and Augustus, the Vatican to her demise. The beginning of the end will endure, as Ezekiel was told, with an end becoming the beginning, and the beginning becoming the ending. The beginning is always here to a new renewing of the beginning. As a great shift upon the rocks of the Jordan from Amman to Shem, the river of Jordan will open. Rains will be drenching, homes will be rocking and crumbling like rocks and crumble with sand. Blood of the hateful will feel Earth's tough love. The Edomites of Esau, still jealous and hateful of their brothers and cousins, sons of Jacob and Judah. The reflection of their hatred will be reflection upon themselves, like Ishmael's sons and daughters calling for Jacob's destruction, will only bring only havoc and blood upon their own nations like never before. The land and the people of Judah will endure and prosper as sticks of Joseph and Judah become one. Many of Josephs of the New World will migrate to the lands of Samaria. As the clerics of the temple are challenged, the merging of a voice is calling. One world, one consciousness, one humanity will become the only harmony. This will be the only path that many paths will see and will fear. The truth of themselves will prevail, and the hate and divide will surely fail. As the dust settles upon the lands of Babylon, to Cyrus, to Cedar, to David, to Pharaohs, a new beginning has begun from the east of Siam, to the lands of Lao Tzu, to the shores of Nippon, to the stretch of Russia, to the winds of the Sahara, to the lands of Sheba and Zulu, from the drums of the four corners to the south of Maya, Inca, and Aztec, Aztlan. The others who were here many thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago will you encounter. As you will see, hear, know of their encounter. The light is upon Earth as she challenges henceforth. Disclosures will be prevail. Yes, we are not alone. Yes, they have been here. Yes, they were here. Yes, they will be here. Those of Orion, Pleiadian, and many others of the universe's alliance will welcome you. You do not have to be the masses of limitation. but rather the masters of overcoming the illusions of limitations. You are you, you are I, we are you. There has never been them. For we are all one, one with the universe, one with Earth, one with every living being on Mother Earth, and within all of the universe, one with each other. In the reality of the universe, we are simply what? One. As they say, get real, be at one, strive to improve, heal oneself and others. Be at the grace for the experience you had and are having and will be having. Love, love unconditionally. And that is basically just came out. I have no sense of timing and how long this would be when I write things down, and this just sort of came out. I do not make this so it fits into a structure, into fitting into a round peg, into a round hole, a square peg in a square hole. Because when one divides and brings out information, there should not be any limitations. This is probably the biggest concern I see most, and a lot of people do, is they try to have, they try to bring into situations of fitting what their results are by getting information to produce the same result that they have in mind. In other words, they try to bring in a theory or a result of a theory by bringing in what they want to hear. Now, what I have disclosed and what I saw has been happening and is still happening. It's only being accelerated because things still don't change. When one sees things into the future, sees things or predictions or prophecies, it's that at that moment in time, at this particular time, if things continue on, these are the things that will happen. As in free will, no one can read free will. No one can see choice. But one can see paths. One can see roads be developing. If a choice has been made, it's going through. It's called cause and reaction. If somebody makes a cause, you can see the reaction. And from the reaction, you can see then the cause from the reaction of the cause. Now, things all have choices. But at this moment in time, the world is changing in a drastic way. People you'll hear passing away and more surprises coming to being to confront of people. To many people, some of us, it's not, I go, not so much of a surprise, but then it is. Some people will be numb to hearing of the changes that are coming. Some will seem like, oh, this is nothing new. Nothing's really changed. And that's sort of true too. If you look around in the period that we're in, I want to take you back in time of 1980. We are running into the same scenario, lessons learned. Just like an individual learns from things, so does humanity. If we don't learn certain things, we're readdressed with the same karma experiences. Until we learn as a humanity as a whole. Until we change. The universe is constantly forcing us the opportunity to change. But if we go back to the same ways of hate and divide, what will be the result? If you think your religion is better than the other ones, then what? If you think your book is better than the others, if you think you must submit and force your way, then what? And that goes to many things, which gives me abhorrence. If you excuse me a second, there's something I wish to read.
There's a book. I wasn't even going to bring this out. I like the outlet. And I didn't even think about this because I was actually going to do this, but I have time now to actually read this. Now, this comes from a book I've been reading. Actually, it's a very excellent book. Somebody gave it to a friend of mine, gave it to me to read. It's called Kafka on the Shore by Haruki Murakami. And I must say, it's a fascinating book. I mean, I usually, when I have to read like a book, I have to really like the book, especially a novel. But let me read it to you. And it's a situation where, let me explain to you the area we're meeting, and then you'll sort of understand. There's a person, I'll just say person, his name Oshima, in Japan. It takes place in Japan. And he's confronted by two feminists, let's say, who don't realize that he's actually, by the way, you find out he's a woman, not a guy, but they assume things. But he says something that's really caught my eye, and it was very fascinating what he says in here, in this book. And take it for what it says, and then ponder it with your own thoughts. But it is pretty fascinating. Now, I'm going to read it through exactly how it says, because I don't like to change any information or how something's said or cut anything just to make edits so it fits in the picture. You'll understand what I'm saying. And this has to refer to what I'm talking about. Again, this is from on page 181 of his book, Kafka on the Shore by Haruki Murakami. That's spelled Murakami. I highly recommend this book, by the way. It says, I've experienced all kinds of discrimination, Oshima says. Only people who've discriminated against can really know how much it hurts. Each person feels the pain in his own way. Each has his own scars. So I think I'm as concerned about fairness and justice as anybody. But what disgusts me even more are people who have no imagination. The kind T.S. Eliot calls hollow men. People who fill up the lack of imagination with heartless bits of straw, not even aware of what they are doing. Callous people who throw a lot of empty words at you, trying to force you to do what they want you to want to do. Like that lovely pair we just met. He sighs, twirls the slender pencil in his hand. Gaze. Lesbians, straights, venomous, fascist pigs, communists, Hare Krishna, none of them bother me. I don't care what banner they raise, but what I can't stand are hollow people. When I'm with them, I just can't bear it and wind up saying things I shouldn't. With those women, I would have just let it slide or else called Miss Sayaki and let her handle it. She would have given them a smile and smoothed things over, but I just can't do that. I say things I shouldn't, and do things I shouldn't do. I can't control myself. That's one of my weak points. Do you know why that's the weak point for mine? Because if you take every single person who lacks such imagination, seriously, there's no end to it. That's it, says Yoshima. He taps his temple lightly with the eraser end of the pencil. But there's one thing I want you to remember, Kafka. Those are exactly the kind of people who murdered Miss Sayaki's childhood sweetheart. Narrow minds, devoid of imagination, intolerance, theories cut off from reality, empty terminology, absurd ideals, inflexible systems. Those are the things that frighten me. When I absolutely fear and loathe, and of course it's important to know what's right and wrong, but individual errors in judgment can usually be corrected as long as you have the courage to admit mistakes. Things can be turned around, but intolerant,
Narrow minds with no imagination are like parasites that transform the host, change form, and continue to thrive. They are a lost cause. I don't want anyone like that coming in here. Now, why I felt this was so indeed interesting is because he touches on so many deep things. One of which is dealing with people who go into an intolerant situation. They can be people who come in and be very liberal and try to push or conservative. It goes on two sides. You'll see extremists on both sides pushing their views. It can be even a situation where people push on to what they believe in conspiracy situations, conspiring happenings, if you want to call it that. But when people are so infatuated, so narrow-minded, they can't see anything but that. They can't see somebody being cynical, even questioning their ways, their thoughts. And they're only locked in one way, or it's my way or the highway, almost to an extreme. And then believe me, I've seen this. I've seen this from people who run around being assuming that they're all pro this or pro that. This is the epitome of what's wrong with the Middle East. Like, I literally feel like I lived in Israel for like from 80 to 86 and 2 years before that, and I had my experiences in all of that part of the realm, including Lebanon. Most of the problems there is actually coming from outsiders, like 80-90% influencing, and their stupid, narrow-minded crap. It's like just like that. I read that and it says, oh my God, just think about it. The conflicts there are mainly coming from outside. Then on top of it, you still have the narrow-mindedness from both religious fanatical situations. You have, you know, everybody, it's not about land, and it's not just in Israel and Palestinians. It's the Shiites, the Sunnis, the Christians. But this is like the epitome. It's like the epitome of narrow-mindedness. The epitome that everybody needs to be separated. And it all comes from these damn clerics who are like these people. When somebody stands in a mosque and tells another person in the name of God that to kill somebody or hate somebody, who the fuck are they? Think about it. Those people are the ones that are dangerous. Those are the problems. Anybody who throws out the epitome of separation and negativity like that is the problem. They are the narrow-minded, unimaginative. They fucking read off a book and regurgitate information. Now, I just read this off to you like I regurgitate this. But it was to let you think what this says and let you make your own determination. I don't say you do this. I never tell you to do this. I want you to think for yourself and make your own determination using your thoughts. But most, a lot of people will fucking push their things upon you. They'll tell you how to eat, how to smoke, how to dress. They'll tell you, well, we know what's best for you. They'll pretend they're your babysitter. They'll tell you how to parent your kids. This happens not just everywhere. I'm talking even in the United States. It's almost like the government has to tell you how to take care of your kids, how to take care of your health. You know, I was living in an area called Santa Monica, and it sort of surprised me, you know. Now, they, you know, about plastic bags and whatnot. And they actually enforce, they have a law there. This sort of caught me after I was living there for a bit, that a private company can't give you plastic bags to put your things. It's like they don't even give you a choice. Who the fuck are they? They're imposing their morality upon you. Person should have a choice. They are imposing their morality upon you. Telling you how to live without you making a choice. Telling how you should breathe, how you should eat. Now, I will never say I am pro-abortion or anti-abortion. I am pro-choice. it is up the morality of the woman to choose what she does. Pro-choice. That is what God gave you, or the universe, choice. For somebody to dictate your choice is another choice. They are dictating to you. I see this in all areas. I mean, from every instant. But you look at the epitome of the worst situation when it really magnifies, look in the Middle East. Iran, for example. They implement their choice. Woman has to cover her head. Woman has to do this. You can't believe in that. Look where in Egypt, if someone says something negative, like I'm talking, okay, I say Islam is bullshit. If I was in Egypt, they throw you in jail. This is what I'm talking about. These narrow-minded mofos of ethology is pushing your choice, your freedom of imagination, your freedom of thought. They're trying to, that is the cage. That is the danger of humanity. That's where there have been wars and wars and wars. That's where there's been disease and poverty like never before. Every travesty in around the world is by these has been brought on by the narrow-minded, hollow man that this just gentleman wrote in his book. And that comes from both the left and the right, the religious and unreligious. It's these extreme, unimaginative people. When they try to impose their free will upon you and take away your free will, what do you have? There's no such thing as victims. You all volunteered for it. And why? Because you volunteered to allow these narrow-minded mofos to impose their narrow-minded things upon you. They are the hollow men that T.S. Eliot was talking about. In this book that I was just reading, Misaki, just so you knew the story, it was the reference was to a bunch of students, radical students, assumed her boyfriend at the time was in college, just walking up a class, and they assumed he was on opposing people, whatever. And there was a protest going on in this college, and they beat this kid to death. Yeah, oh, it was a mistake. Oopsie daisy. But what over an ideology, over something stupid? That's what I'm talking about. They had back in and I wrote it back in a book of mine called The Heretic. And when I was doing the investigation, when I was writing it, because it took place during the time of Alexander the Great, it was amazing while I was doing my research during Greece when they had what they called the Sacred Wars. And the Sacred War is what they were. There was like fightings in Greece over temple sites. It's like whoever controlled the temple site was the king of the world, which sort of remind me of like the Middle East. It's like the Jews now have Jerusalem, so the Muslims don't like that and they want to take it from them. Or Lebanon, it's always who's king of the hill. They won't allow anybody to have their own country, so they impose it. And I'm just telling you, frankly, the thing about like Israel and the Palestine has nothing to do. Just seeing the Jewish star up there, oh my God. That freaks them. Yeah, I mean, come on, that's what it's all about. In Lebanon, it was supposed to be more a Christian enclave. Oh, we can't have that either. I hate to say it, it's been imposed. It's been imposed by radical Islamists. And not to say there's Islamophobe or anything like that. Frankly, I'm just saying that part, there's been a lot of, most Muslims don't even know what the hell they're not even being Muslims. If they really believe in Allah, and they believed in Allah's being everybody, then they would not preach hate. They would follow Rumi. Rumi once said that when he went into, whether it was a synagogue, a church, or a mosque, all he saw was one altar. Do you understand? You aren't following that. You're saying, my way, the highway. I'm better than you. I'm sticking my crescent flag here and fuck you. It's done even in Europe. I mean, look at even the moderates don't even open their mouths up. Why? Narrow-mindedness? I'm not saying others are any better. I'm not talking about whether it's Jewish, religious, Haradi extremists, who even the ones that say, oh, I don't believe there's Israel, I'm very minute of those, or the ones that say, who think everybody has to be a religious Jew to live in Israel. I'm not talking about the Christian right in the United States that thinks everybody has to be a Christian, and that, you know, and gays should be burnt and whatever, and abortion is, you know, killing kids, and they have to make impose their choice upon. Those are the narrow-minded people. They're all the same. I don't care one side or the other side. Even the liberal side, imposing their side. Telling you what you need to do and how you need to believe. Same thing. I remember seeing up in San Francisco, and they tried to do, I think, in Los Angeles, in LA, in Santa Monica, and a couple other areas. They actually tried to implement a law banning circumcision. Oh my God. That's the liberal side. Get it? These are the same narrow-minded people. I don't care if left or right. There was a book a long time ago about called Extremists, I think, by Eric Hoffman. And he used to talk about the extremists, whether it can be Nazi, left-wing, right-wing. And he talked about that. And how Hitler actually had the understanding of these narrow-minded people. That literally, they used to take literally extreme communists and make them to neo-Nazis. And they figured that out. And that's what that book was about. I think it was called Eric Hoffman or Hoffer. I apologize if I don't remember. It was something like that. I'm sure if you Google it, it will somehow come up. Read it back when I was in college. But it reminds me of that. And I still, how much things have changed, don't change. This also goes into spirituality or vegetarianism. All this stuff, people keep on fucking imposing. You know? Like, if you're not a vegan, if you're a vegan, you're somehow more spiritual, or you're more in tune, connected. Huh? Who the fuck made that shit up? You? You're showing compassion to an animal because you don't eat the animal? How about the animal that eats another animal? Is that animal less compassion than you? More not connected? Is it not the tiger who sinks its teeth on a zebra and... or lion, not in tune and compassionate? Who's more in tune with Mother Earth? The tiger or even the Buddhist? I would say the tiger by a long shot. As much as you want to be, you still think things of separation. They are one in the same with Mother Earth and the universe. We're the ones who are still outside. That's the whole point when we sort of stepped out of the Garden of Eden. We're not in the Garden of Eden. We're outside. We still see from things' perspective of separation. They don't. But people impose. Constantly impose. I mean, you can really see it. I mean, we need to strive ourselves not to be so judgmental as much as possible. I mean, we can't afford that. We always judge. Even I'm judging right now. Like, I'm saying, hey, those mofos are them. Maybe it isn't. Maybe it isn't really. All this doesn't even matter. Maybe all the stuff that we're doing right now, the biggest joke, is maybe we're just like some TV show for some extraterrestrials outside who are watching us, laughing at us. We're the court jesters of the court. We're the Truman Show. And they click on every channel just watching our bullshit. Who knows? But it does get sort of silly when people push their narrow-mindedness on other people. And I consistently see that. And it's really shameful. But sorry to get on that as a downer. But I do feel it was really important because I know you'll see other shows even on BBS Radio and other internet, and you'll see both sides. And I'd rather, even as you question, I want you to question me, and I want you to question even those people. Come on. Be very cynical. Question. Use your imagination. Use trust in your own self. Don't believe everybody, not even the people who talk about conspiracies. Do your own investigation. Just because they put, even the people they have, you know, it's amazing. You'll see people put on things and it's opinion and opinion. Question the person. Question the witness. Is that witness who's telling you that testimony really credible? How the hell do you know? Oh, because they put it on. They talk about this. I had the experience. How do you know that? Are you with them? Maybe they're bullshit. Maybe they have another agenda. Maybe they did sort of, but maybe they make a little hyperbole. You know, exaggeration. Maybe they had a slight experience of, but they made it more than what it really is. Be skeptical. A lot of disinformation is out there. It has literally become, and everything I've been seeing on the internet has become CNN. People laugh at CNN and Fox News, but I'm telling you, there's no true news. I have not seen true news. I'm just telling you, because you're not there. You assume, well, this is the true news. This is the truth. This is what's really going on. You don't know, people can make things up and adjust things with cameras, with talking, cut sequences, exaggerate information. It literally, on the internet of the information age that we've gone into, we've turned ourselves into the yellow journalism of mass media. There is absolutely no, where everything is all Fox News and everything is all CNN and everything is MSNBC. Everything is exaggeration to their point of view. That includes conspiratorial things. I mean, I know people, I have people on my show, and the reason I stopped doing a lot of that, I'll tell you honestly, I did my own investigation. I find a lot of exaggerations and a lot not exactly there. That's what my finding was, but I want you to do your own finding. I know people who talk about other people being them, and they don't even realize I know these people personally, and I just shut up. They make assumptions about somebody who's supposedly be in a club. I'm like laughing. Somebody holds up their two fingers up and they're like, hey man, rock and roll, like showing, like, you know, and that's a devil sign. Oh, they're assumed all of a sudden they're Illuminati. Not all of them. They're just doing it. You can't jump upon conclusions. I know somebody was saying to me, I really respect, and he has a lot of information that comes into it, Bashar, and I think he's for real. I saw him personally, and somebody questioned whether he was like, he's a Mason, like Mason's really bad. Who knows if Mason's positive or negative? Question that, by the way. Not all fingers are the same. They talking about like, oh, somebody asked me whether she's giving Masonic signs in his gestures. The dude's in a channeling state. How the hell can you be doing that? I'm saying, no, I've done it. you challenge that you don't even have control of what you're doing. Just the reactions, your hands move, your things do. Everybody does certain things differently. I don't channel myself anymore because I don't think that's, for me, it's not a good thing to do. And I've seen other people channel, and that's cool. But when they do, your body might twitch, change, your facial expressions, hand movements. It's not predetermined. And then somebody goes, hey, are they doing flashing signs? I was like laughing. Yeah, and he was twitching his eyes left and right, giving secret codes. Some things are so made up. And exaggerations. You know, it's funny. I mean, nobody really knows in history. You have to make your own determination. And that's what I meant to be not being narrow-minded. I see a lot of narrow-mindedness. And a lot of leads to the narrow-mindedness personally. When I see narrow-minded leads to hate or division, that's when I question them. What's the real intention? That's what you really have to think to yourself. What is the intention behind the words? And also, if the person was hurt by a group, so they're so infatuated toward it, is that the reason why they're involved with it? Is this something they had personally? Maybe that's why they're involved with something, whether left-wing, right-wing, religious, whether Muslim, Jew, Christian, Hindu, whatever. There might be other lying factors. Maybe they are for real and helping you. That's for you to determine, not for them to determine. It's for you to question, you to understand. So with that, there is actually one thing I would like to close again and reiterate. I'll have to leave it on a good top thing, not a negative, because I was a little getting down. And I knew I had, when I did this thing, it gave me the opportunity to go into, actually, I was going to do a show about this stuff, but now I don't have to. But let me just say one thing. You do not have to be a master of limitations, but rather a master of overcoming the illusions of limitations. Again, you are you, you are I, we are you. And there has never been them. There never was a them. That's been imposed upon you, yourself. Think for yourself. Feel the reality of the oneness within the universe, the cosmic force, the energy, how everything is in reality connected. See for yourself, not with your eyes and ears. Do the in reality. We're literally one universe. One with every living thing in the universe. Everything. In the reality of the universe, we're really one. So like I said, get real. Be at one. But think for yourself. Even from what I'm saying to you now. And yet strive to improve and heal yourself. Oneself. Learn. Gain. Experience. Be at grace though. Be thankful for all your experiences. For that you've had and will be having or having. Because that's really being in the moment. That is really being at the joy. That's love unconditionally. The love unconditionally yourself. And with that, I'm going to close with a famous saying that a Hopi elder once said. As this reflects to what I said earlier with some of the premonitions I've had. You have been telling the people that this is the 11th hour. Now you must go back and tell the people that this is the hour. And there are things to be considered. Where are you living? What are you doing? What are your relationships? Are you in the right relation? Where is your water? Know your garden. It is time to speak your truth. Create your community. Be good to each other. Do not look outside yourself for the leader. Then he clasped his hands together and smiled and said, this could be a good time. There is a river flowing now very fast, and it is so great and swift. There are those who will be afraid. They will try to hold on to the shore. They will feel they are torn apart and will suffer greatly. Know this, that the river has its destination, its direction. The elders say that we must let go of the shore and push off into the middle of the river. Keep our eyes open, our heads above water. And I say, see who is in there with you and celebrate. At this time in history, we are to take nothing personally, least of all ourselves. For the moment that we do, our spiritual growth and journey comes to a halt. The time for the lone wolf is over. Gather yourselves. Banish the word struggle from your attitude and your vocabulary. All that we do now must be done in a sacred manner in celebration. For we are the ones we've been waiting for. And with that, I want to thank you for listening. God bless you all. And I'm going to close with a very, very special song by the late Ofra Haza. In Ni Alu. God bless you all. And have a glorious, glorious weekend. Thank you.